4 minutes and 52 seconds of glorious serenity there. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't it just beautiful? I love that song. It's one of my all-time great songs. And I played it earlier in the pandemic about a year ago, and I've been waiting to play it since. And given last night was the longest day, or the shortest night of the year, the longest day of the year, or whatever you want to call it, I thought, the old Harvest Moon, we'll throw that in. I know it refers to sometime later. But if you had that lovely Rhodes Mantic waltz around wherever you were now, or even if you were alone and you swooned among the trees, I hope you enjoyed that. I actually asked Kira, would she dance with me? And she said no. One word, no. She didn't even qualify it by saying, you know, yeah, you're too old, Clem, you might crotch it or whatever else. So I had a nice dance around the studio hugging myself because... One thing about Kira, she's straight up with the answers. Kira, will you dance? No. Now, the Asthma Society of Ireland have released a survey findings around hay fever and allergies as part of a supported hay fever campaign. The survey shows that 30% of people have never spoken to a healthcare professional about their allergies despite experiencing frequent symptoms. Let's find out more now because the chief executive of the Asthma Society of Ireland is Sarah O'Connor. Good morning, Sarah. Thank you for joining us.
And thank you for that lovely mellow moment, which was just gorgeous.
Well, Sarah, if I knew you were enjoying it, I'd have asked you to dance with me because Kira gave me a blunt no. She said not
well,
until...
I would have said a yes, but it would have been a remote dance, I'm afraid.
Right. Not until I get my... until my vaccination kicks in fully, she said, in regards to that. And the same Kira has been having a bit of a battle with hay fever this week. Now, pollen and dust mite being the most commonly diagnosed allergies in Ireland, Sarah.
That's right. So the piece of research that we launched yesterday, Clem, is quite insightful in terms of where patients are at in terms of hay fever. And I suppose there are some points of concern from our point of view, which we're very keen to talk to your listeners in Kildare about this morning. I suppose one of the top line figures that really stood out for us from the research, from the survey, is that 30% of respondents, so that's 3 in 10 people with asthma and hay fever, have never sought advice from their healthcare provider about managing their allergies. And I think from my point of view as a patient with asthma and with quite debilitating hay fever from time to time, that probably doesn't really surprise me because my experience with patients when we hear from them, and also obviously having been a lifelong patient myself, is problems with the nose, hay fever, and all of the symptoms that go with it can actually be quite problematic for somebody to tackle and for somebody to raise with a GP because you know, people have very often been used to having, hay fever reactions from childhood. They kind of consider it relatively normal. They consider that they might have what they might call, inverted commas, like a summer cold during the summer, really to experience hay fever symptoms. And what it means is they don't ever really think that if they raise it with the GP that it will be taken seriously and that they will be able to get a resolution. And actually, my experience is the opposite because I raised this with my GP about 4 years ago when my allergies were absolutely at their worst. And I tell you, it was life-altering. So I suppose one of the things that we are saying today is for any patients who are listening, is to say, look, the next time you go to your GP about your asthma, please say, and I am also experiencing X, Y, and Z symptoms with my nose. I think it's as a result of hay fever, or I think it's as a result of pollen or dust mites or other allergies, because your GP can help and support you to actually feel, 1,000 times better.
I'm just looking at some of the figures here. 304,000 people in Ireland have both asthma and hay fever. A sneezing, stuffy nose and runny nose, as you've been recounting there, were commonly experienced amongst the 655 patients surveyed. Of the symptoms most frequently experienced, 92% cited an urge to sneeze or sneezing fits, 91% runny nose rhinitis, 88% stuffy or itchy nose, and 74% of respondents reported itchy or burning eyes. Indeed, I've had that myself in the last week, but it was diagnosed as something else. But originally, back in my youth, I was diagnosed with asthma as well. And nobody can convey to people what it's like to struggle to breathe with asthma, Sarah.
No, it's one of the harder parts of the job working for the Asthma Society. For any of us who are on the team, is first of all to, convey what it feels like to a person with asthma to anyone who's never had that or never experienced it. I mean, patients would say to me that they feel like they have an elephant sitting on their chest, and that they're you know, they're afraid for their lives. It's actually a very scary condition when it's uncontrolled. And for the very vast majority of patients, they can get really great asthma control, which is what we do day in, day out, is help and support patients to get asthma control. It can be very frightening. And I suppose part of what I'm trying to say today is, first of all, the hay fever symptoms can make people feel really lousy. But if you work with your GP or if you work with us on our asthma advice line, where if people call in on 1-800-44-54-64, we'll take an appointment. We'll make an appointment with one of our asthma nurse specialists, normally within a day. If it's busy today, it might be, you know, tomorrow when we set up that half-hour nurse appointment for somebody. But we can help you to support your hay fever or to control your hay fever. And what that means is people experiencing nasal symptoms, so the kind of things you talked about there, like runny nose, sneezing, itchy, stuffy nose, that are really prevalent with hay fever, that can kick off or cause your asthma to be triggered or become more serious. And so we obviously want people's hay fever symptoms to be controlled so that they feel well and good, but also it means that people will have better asthma control if they're controlling their hay fever.
Indeed. Now, you described asthma. The only way I could ever describe it was that trying, and I remember a doctor saying to me at one stage where I had pulmonary tests, saying it's the problem is that the air coming in is difficult to get in because all the air that's in your lungs, you're not emptying them properly. That was simplistic. What it didn't matter anyway was you had this smothering feeling, and certainly my thoughts go to anyone who's suffering from that, and the word being that there's most definitely help available. And if you've any suspicion at all that you have asthma or a wheezing, anything like that, ever that you get like that, go and see your doctor, and we'll give out these numbers again in a moment. I want to stay with hay fever, if you would, Sarah, because we've had two of them in here this week, with Kira and Owen, both our producers, suffering from hay fever and that. What causes that?
So it's an allergic response, essentially. So it's an allergic response of the nasal cavities to the pollen in the air.
And it can be totally miserable for people.
It can be. And I say that really deeply from very personal experience. People can feel really, really unwell with it. And I think this is part of why, you know, the research today or the survey today is helping us to talk to patients to say, really, please do ask for help, whether that's with ourselves or whether that's with your GP. Or often people can check in with their pharmacist and discuss it with their pharmacist to help to get treatment for it, because people can feel terribly unwell. I mean, in the survey that came back, 79% of people reported experiencing fatigue, and they felt really debilitated in the summer months, and really people felt like life is on hold until the autumn comes around again across the spring.
And what do you have, runny nose and runny eyes, is it?
People can have any combination of that, depending, because it's not a blanket response from the body, let's say. People would respond to it differently. So the things that people would normally experience or that we would routinely see would be sneezing fits, runny nose, or the doctors would call that rhinitis, itchy or stuffy nose, itchy burning eyes, fatigue. Some people might also experience headache if they're finding that they're very congested in their head as well. And I suppose, you know, that can happen across adults or children. Either can have that response to hay fever. And it can be very difficult, I suppose, to get people to kickstart that, because if you think about it, a huge portion of that conversation is all about snot, phlegm, and people don't really feel very comfortable talking to their GP or to anybody really about snot. But we're really encouraging that people do that, because once you get that right, first of all, the hay fever impact on your life really diminishes, but also you're safer with your asthma.
I've often been accused of upsetting people here in the programme and things and snot is a first one, so sorry if you're having your breakfast,
but this is... I have to talk about snot and phlegm all the time.
And of course you have to do that, and we absolutely accept that 100%. Now, we'll come back to give those two phone numbers that you list in a couple of minutes' time, but you have a list of tips for people who might be suffering from hay fever or any particular allergy at the moment. Now, obviously, one is speak with the healthcare professional. We have talked about that. But go through the other tips for me, will you please? Windows closed at night.
Yeah, so this is the one that's made the biggest impact on me, Clem, to be honest. And so it was further down the list, and I insisted we move it up because I thought it was the most impactful. If people keep the windows closed at night time or when the pollen count is high, that's actually one of the most impactful things that you can do. We have a pollen tracker on our website, which shows what the pollen levels are in Ireland for today and for tomorrow. So we recommend that people check in with that, and then that they, I suppose, you know, kind of tailor their activities accordingly. So, for example, it's not a great idea to exercise outdoors when the pollen count is at its highest. We recommend people stay away from areas with freshly cut grass or don't keep fresh flowers in the house. And one thing that can be quite helpful for people is to apply a little bit of Vaseline around the nostrils, because the Vaseline is a little bit sticky and it will capture some of the pollen in the air rather than it going into the nasal cavity.
All right, you're reminding me of these rugby players now with big dabs of Vaseline on their eyebrows and stuff like that when they're going out to play matches and stuff. We're not suggesting that you have a lump of Vaseline hanging out of either nostril, okay?
No, just a little dab.
And that's interesting that it catches the pollen. And even down to wrap around sunglasses.
Well, for people who find that their eyes are particularly sore, watery and itchy, the wraparound sunglasses can make a big difference. And essentially what you think is, it's literally protecting the eyes from the thing that is irritating or causing that inflammation to them. So, wraparound sunglasses being the best option, because obviously you're protecting the eyes from the pollen that will come from any direction, but even sunglasses in general would also help a little bit.
Yeah, and splashing your eyes and washing your eyes with water, shower, wash your hair and change your clothes if you've been outdoors, exercise in the morning rather than the evening, when there are higher rates of pollen falling. Avoid drying clothes outdoors and shake clothes outside before bringing them inside, particularly bedclothes.
And that one is really important, actually, Sam, because I suppose if you think about it, we spend a really substantial chunk of our day in our bed. So if you have brought the pollen indoors on the bedclothes and then you're lying on it for that week before you wash your sheets again, really it means that your body is very close to the thing that is irritating or causing that inflammation. So the bedclothes one is actually particularly helpful. And I know that runs kind of contrary to our natural feel. We all want to wash our clothes outside. But if that's actually causing you to feel very unwell with the hay fever symptoms, or if it's causing your asthma to be less controlled, that's a measure that can be quite helpful for people.
Okay, avoid drying clothes outdoors and shake the clothes outside before bringing them inside.
Now, and we recommend that if you're the person with asthma and hay fever, that you ask somebody else to shake the clothes
that.
Outdoors.
Yeah. And change your sheets once a week. Do people change your sheets once a week? I thought it's every 6 months. But anyway, minimise contact with pets. Minimise contact with pets that have been outdoors and are likely to carry pollen. It's all very, very good advice. And if people want to get their pens ready, we'll go to this in a moment. Are there particular times of the year when the risk is higher?
So the hay fever season, in inverted commas, tends to be in spring and summer if you're looking at tree pollen and grass pollen. So those are the ones that we would hear from patients. Like, we would get an influx of calls on our advice line number, or we get an influx of messages on our WhatsApp nurse service around those times of the year, because people are finding it much harder to manage. And actually what can be really helpful is, you know, either at the beginning of the spring-summer period or when people find the pollen count is high. If any of your listeners now are listening thinking, God, I think that's actually me, the hay fever is bothering me, and if they're, particularly if they're somebody with hay fever and asthma, if you go and you get some help from, as I mentioned, either through our services, from your GP, from your pharmacist, and action it now, what it means is, actually, you can really enjoy a lot of the rest of the summer, even whether there's high pollen count days left, right and centre, that you feel much, much better. As hay fever itself is very prevalent, so 1 in 5 people in Ireland experience hay fever symptoms. So it's a big portion of
indeed,
the Kildare population there listening will actually find that that's them. And then obviously we're doubly concerned about any person who's experiencing hay fever with asthma, because it can cause the asthma to be uncontrolled. And obviously, in very rare instances, hay fever can be particularly problematic for a very sudden attack. And you were talking earlier on there, Clem, about what it's like for people to experience an asthma attack. And I suppose what I would love is that if people could begin to realise that an asthma attack is not a normal event, it's actually a very serious respiratory event. It's a respiratory crisis or an emergency. And what I would love is that people begin to think about an asthma attack as being something they should really seriously action and follow up. Like, you don't hear somebody talking about having a heart attack or a mini stroke and not going to see their GP afterwards. And we really want to change behaviours so that people perceive their asthma and their respiratory health in the same way. And I suppose coming on top of COVID now, people did have their attention drawn to respiratory illness more. And for us, it's really important that we say, no, that wasn't an aberration. You should actually be paying attention to your respiratory health. It's really important.
Absolutely. Yeah. Couldn't endorse that more, I'll tell you. The Asthma Association of Ireland website is asthma.ie. Now, those numbers, they have an advice line service. It's a free phone number, very easy to remember, 1-800-44-54-64. That's 1-800-44-54-64. They also have an asthma and COPD patient support service, and that's on a mobile number, 086-059-0132. For any questions, queries on asthma, hay fever and COVID-19 symptoms, that's 086-059-0132. Going back to the free phone number again, 1-800-44-54-64, and the website is asthma.ie. The main message, tens of thousands of people suffer in varying levels of these conditions and help is available. Contact your medical practitioners or the Asthma Society of Ireland for advice. Sarah O'Connor, it's been great talking to you, Sarah. Chief Executive of Asthma Society. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, and enjoy the harvest moon.
And indeed, I'm very pleased, Sarah O'Connor, that you would have danced with me, unlike my producer, Kira Noble, and her blunt refusal. I let you have a word with her online about that now, right now, in regards to it. Okay, on the break, after the break, we'll head to the Selbridge Leixlip Municipal District with Councillor Joe Neville.
Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. Whitewatersc.ie.
Councillor Joe Neville is a Fine Gael councillor on the Selbridge Leixlip Municipal District. Good morning, Joe. And thank you for joining us on the programme this morning. Let's go to your motions, Joe, beginning with that the council carry out a review of the road between the M4 and Intel to assess the best layout given the number of developments on this road. This should include possible bridges, crossings and plans to enter and exit sites. That's quite a huge project that you're envisaging, Joe, is it not?
It is, but at the same time, look, it's a developing area. What you've got there, Clem, is one of the main access points into Leixlip, and obviously it was a dual carriageway built from the interchange to Intel. But what has now happened over the last 5 years and continues to happen is residential developments along the side of it. So I suppose where there's residential developments brings people where cycle lanes are required, where footpaths are required, and there's a popular area, Kilmacraddock, where people like to get across to, and with a big dual carriageway there and a big interchange to Selbridge, people going to Castletown, it makes it impossible for people to cross the road. So, you know, it was the road that was built at a different time, maybe when it was just purely with the Intel in mind, whereas now we, you know, I suppose we have to think of the people who are walking around and the kids who are going up and down. There's access, the Greenway access is there as well. So you've got leisure facilities like Castletown Estate and the Greenway, not to mind the shops close by, and with 1,000 houses, so I suppose we need to make it sure that it's safe.
The bad news, Joe, the usual, due to limited resources, it's not possible to facilitate the request at this time.
Yeah, but at the same time, there was an agreement with the director of services that it was required, so look, it might be there this time, but at the same time, as I said at the meeting, that it's on the agenda, because it's not going away, the problem isn't going away, the houses are going to be there forever. Intel is going to be there for hours to road, so something needs to be done.
Okay, can the council confirm surveys have been carried out on the benefits of a new cycleway or road from Salesians back towards the planned new bridge for Hazelhatch? Or new bridge, that's not new bridge, the town now, towards the planned new bridge. In the printed sheet, it came out as one word, but for Hazelhatch. Yes, Joe, and again, I'm afraid no feasibility studies have been completed.
Yeah, once again, it's a case of putting it down, because it will be required. You know, obviously, as we know, there's the new bridge is planned for Selbridge, So with that, we need to link up to town as well, you know, from around about, rather than just everybody going through the centre of the town. So, you know, cycleway and road, obviously, infrastructure, it will be required there. So we need to ensure that Selbridge has, rather than one main access point to all the traffic going through the town, we need to link around it. So this is, once again, practical and more to the point, a required solution that we need to get on the list of the studies that need to be done.
All right. You asked the council to outline the timeline for the next steps on the leak slip section of the Royal Canal Greenway.
I suppose as a lot of your listeners will know, the Greenway has been very successful, especially around Kildare. We've had plenty of rollouts of greenways and blueways, but the one key element that's missing is the leak slip to Minute area. It's been developed beyond the Minute, and it's been developed close to town, so we're missing that segment between leak slip and Minute, caused principally, I think, by delays with the NTA. So I know it's been going into the design has been done, and it's been there for about the last year, kind of nearly ready to go, but I know now it'll be done be going into tender for Q4, but we had hoped that it'd be done earlier, I suppose late last year.
And what about that council response that says that detailed design has been submitted to Waterways Ireland and the NTA for approval to go to tender? It's anticipated approval to go to tender will be received within the next 2 weeks. The tender process will take approximately 2 months before the successful contractor can be appointed.
Yeah, but at the same time, look, that'd be something that we would have hoped would have been done last year. So
right.
There has been a delay in it. The Minute part was done 2 years ago.
All right.
So that's why, you know, we just got to keep pushing, because it's been sitting there, and as I said, the council have done their best to push it, but the NTA have, have been delaying it. So it's, at this stage, we can't be waiting any longer.
And briefly, Joe, in regards to an outdoor summer, council plans for that in the Leak Slip Selbridge area?
Yeah, once again, look, I'm going to be positive here. Leaks and Salvage have seen planters and seeding, outdoor seeding go up last week. Obviously, look, we would have preferred maybe if it gone up earlier. But, on the positive note, I think it's been received very well. There are areas where picnic benches and green area put down, astro area, that people can sit down and relax in central points.
Let me go through just some of the steps in the new because I have it here in front of me, Joe. New temporary parklets to replace on-street parking, car parking spaces on the main street in Selbridge and at the bottom of Captain's Hill in Leak Slip. In addition to the above, a pilot parklet has been commissioned to be manufactured to replace one car parking space and will be installed in Selbridge. The slip in Selbridge will be transformed to accommodate outdoor events. Social distancing markers will be in place. Additional picnic tables with longer tabletops to accommodate wheelchair users are on order to be installed at all locations, and subject to the success of the above, an additional parklet location may also be trialled in Leak Slip.
Yeah, as I said, a lot of positive stuff there. As we head towards summer, you'd want these to be in place. But look, a lot of them were installed last week, just on the day of the meeting, actually just the day before the meeting. So it was great to have that them in, and made it a more positive conversation on Friday. So look, all I think Kildare County Council, have done a lot of good work here, and we just need to see more of it get rolled out and more to the point that the people engage with it and use it. And the facilities then become beneficial to the towns and to the businesses.
Yeah. And notwithstanding, Joe, that we'll overcome the little difficulties yesterday in regards to outdoor consumption of alcohol and dining and etc., it seems that the Commissioner has clarified the situation there and in very diplomatic language has said Gardaí will use their discretion. In other words, I'm viewing that and interpreting that as to mean as long as there's no social disorder, guards will turn a blind eye to it and let life carry on as in the current normality.
Well, the council, we was on a council meeting yesterday as well, and the council, the chief said that he was in discussion with the chief superintendent in Ace as well, so they're constantly tick-tacking. The council put out a lot of, rolled out a lot of good infrastructure outdoors, and we want to see that utilised, and the businesses need support as best possible.
Yeah. Was that a full council meeting yesterday?
No, a CPG meeting. It was just a group of the senior officials and just council members who are head of committees.
All right. That's Councillor Joe Neville of the Selbridge Leak Slip Municipal District with the range of motions that he brought to the recent meeting of the Selbridge Leak Slip Committee. The full meeting of the council, as I understand it, by the way, is taking place next Monday afternoon. Quick break, and after that, we're hearing from Social Justice Ireland.
Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
with Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
In regards to be talking about recycling earlier on and built-in obsolescence and keeping things that might be no longer used, and I think it's a rare house that isn't stacked with stuff somewhere, whether in the attic or the garage or whatever, that sure we might be able to use that again someday. It might be the black and white television, you might need it again. Clem, I still have my late dad's slide projector, says Brendan in Tala. Hello to all our dubs listening. Brendan, welcome aboard again. From the late 1960s and early 70s. He bought it when we lived in South Africa and it still works. Absolutely, Brendan, it does. I have access to a slide projector as well. I have a typewriter from about, it must be about 1920 or 30. You know the old black ones that you have to hit the buttons with the letters with a sledgehammer? I still have that. And am I throwing it out? No, I'm not. Because you know about all this old stuff. Someday it becomes an antique. And then you might make a few bob from it. If you ever watch that BBC Antiques Roadshow, I think it's very, very good altogether. Colette Bennett is Economic and Social Analyst with Social Justice Ireland. Good morning, Colette.
Good morning, Clem. How are you?
I don't know, could we save the economy by hanging on to the 1920s typewriters and all this other stuff that we're supposed to recycle and give back again? But we all hold on to for all sorts of sentimental reasons. And sure, someday, I suppose it's like the fashion you bought 20 years ago or 30 years ago. Sure, someday it might come back in fashion. We'll wear it again.
This is it. We can only hope that, as you say, that shed full of junk will come and bail us out.
Yeah. Is there a wardrobe in the country that doesn't have bell bottoms from the 70s? Or multicoloured shirts from Love Everyone in San Francisco in 69? Because it might all come back into fashion again. And as I understand it, these floral summer dresses are all back in fashion again. And sure, they're just a variation on 1968 and the early 1970s and all of that. Reinterpreting and recycling all the time. So hang on to it, folks. Don't throw it out. We'll send one of the TV programmes one of the days to help you declutter in relation to that. Now on to serious matters, and the reason, of course, that we're joined by Colette Bennett of the Economic Economic and Social Analyst with Social Justice Ireland is, they say the programme for government contained several commitments which, if fully resourced and implemented, would represent significant steps towards creating a fairer and more just Ireland. Let's start indeed with some of those steps on housing, Colette.
Yes, The programme for government does make commitments to increase housing supply, and the economic recovery plan that was published just last month kind of set out what those commitments would be. Now, what it says is there's a commitment to 33,000 houses to be built per year under a new strategy that's due to come out next month called Housing for All. Now, when we look at that and we look at the data around it, 33,000 is in and around what's needed just to take account for demographic change, so population increases and household formations. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take account of the 100,000 plus households who actually still need housing. So what we're looking at when we looked at this National Social Monitor that we published yesterday was, well, what are the programme for government commitments and what are the commitments that government have made around that, around 10 different policy areas, including housing, as you say, and where are they, I suppose?
I suppose, in fairness to the government, Colette, the first thing they'll say is pandemic. Because whatever plans they had in the programme for government all went out the window with the lockdown of construction in particular, which brought everything to a halt for the best part of a year.
And my response to that, Clem, would be, with the greatest of respect, the programme for government was written in the midst of a pandemic, in the full knowledge that the government has a 5-year term maximum and that the current Taoiseach has a 2.5-year term before switching over to the tarnished Leo Varadkar. So the commitments that were made in that were made a year ago when we were in the midst of one of the biggest lockdowns that we've had during the pandemic, and those commitments were still formulated by government with the understanding that they would come through. So what we're looking at is, now that the government is in place a year, so a quarter of its full term, and almost half of the term of the current Taoiseach, we're looking at, well, how are they delivering? Like, a focus on the delivery rather than on anything else that's going around. So what we did, as I say, was 10 areas: housing for all, universal healthcare, better opportunities through education and research, balanced regional development, a jobs-led recovery, reforming and reimagining our public life, income distribution, taxation, a Green New Deal, and global citizenship. And they're headings from the programme for government. So we chose those 10 areas because they're pretty key policy topics, and they spread across a wide range of areas, a wide range of interests. And so what we found in terms of housing, when it comes to new homes, in terms of the buyers of new homes, we found that the proportion of new homes being built by what's called non-household entities or institutions rose from 5.6% in 2010 to almost 1 in 3 by the end of 2019. Mm. So it's little wonder that households are being priced out of the market when they're competing against institutions who have relatively unlimited funds, who aren't haggling or negotiating in terms of purchase.
And we've covered that extensively on the programme over
and
recent
weeks. Particularly in your area recently, absolutely.
Indeed,
yeah.
in Mallon Park in Maynooth. Now, in terms of universal healthcare, reduce hospital waiting lists to below 18 months, prioritising those most in need of care.
Absolutely. So, I mean, as you and your listeners would be aware, we very much have a two-tiered health system in Ireland. Some of that was rolled back in the midst of the pandemic when we essentially nationalised private health providers. But realistically, when we look at the waiting list, what we concentrated on for the National Social Monitor was the waiting list of 18 months or more. So this would, these people started off on the waiting list pre-pandemic and they're still on it. And what we have found is that there has been an increase between March of this year and March of last year of 65% and 75% on the year before. So we're going very much in the wrong direction in terms of who is on this waiting list and how long they're waiting. There was a European Commission report there a couple of years ago which found that even if the Irish government had met its target of a maximum of 18 months, we'd still have the worst waiting times in Europe. So we're very much, we're booking the trend at a European level and we're going in the wrong direction year on year. The other area in relation to health in the National Social Monitor is the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Service and the waiting list there. And we find that over 2,000 children and young people were on the waiting list as of September last year, which is when the latest data is available. And again, this is increasing year on year. Now, we've seen the largest proportionate change in those waiting between 6 and 12 months. So they've increased from 1 in 4 in September 2018 to 1 in 3 in September 2020. So, if you have a child or an adolescent who is in need of psychiatric support, you need it to happen an awful lot faster than that. And one of our key asks when it comes to policy priorities is to have these supports put at a community level. So again, to kind of free up the acute spaces, the hospital spaces, but also when it comes to children's psychiatric help, that they are getting the support in relation to psychiatric beds in child-appropriate settings rather than in adult psychiatric units.
All right, you have 20 proposals in total. Wish I had time to talk for them all, but just to run through the headline issues around them: better opportunities through education and research, investing in reducing class sizes and pupil-teacher ratios at primary and post-primary level, a balanced regional development by investing in public services and infrastructure, including broadband, in sustainable rural economies, provide training and upskilling to support a just transition, a jobs-led recovery, investing in activation programmes, education and training opportunities, reforming and reimagining public life, a process of social dialogue involving all, income distribution, because Ireland has an ongoing poverty problem, index social welfare rates to 27.5% of average earnings, an increase of €19 over the next two budgets, to taxation, recognise the problem of the working poor, a Green New Deal, set ambitious emissions targets for 2030. We talked about that in detail earlier on the programme this morning when we were talking about recycling, and indeed when we were also covering the EPA report out today and global citizenship, develop a comprehensive strategy setting out a pathway to meeting Ireland's UN agreed targets of 0.07 of 1%. It's all part of an extremely detailed analysis by Social Justice Ireland, which has just published its National Social Monitor. Colette Bennett, Economic and Social Analyst with Social Justice Ireland. Thank you so much, Colette, for your time this morning. Certainly, we could have devoted a lot more time to what's a very detailed document, but you can find out more in terms of the website in regards to that. Let's go to the Athy Municipal District and Councillor Ivan Keatley, Fine Gael Councillor. Good morning, Ivan.
Morning, Clem. Thanks for hanging on.
Thank you for hanging on there, Ivan, because we're just running a bit behind time due to the amount of content in the programme, but we're always happy to get that in, and we have plenty of time indeed to devote to your own particular. You had three motions on the meeting for the Athy Municipal District, and let me just go to that now where I have it. Is that the Selbridge one, I wonder? Yeah, of course it is. Let's hang with me for a minute there. While I find this particular one, why does that always bloody happen to me? Kildare Today.
And gender. I can discuss the first one while you're looking for it there.
I have it now. Thanks. It's just I have five or six things up on my thing here. Your first motion in relation to that was number 7 on the Clor, Ivan. You want the council to carry out a safety survey on the bridge at Fuller's Court in Ballytor.
Yeah, there's a recent development has been granted planning permission on this road, Clem. And indeed, the road is a very small rural road, and the bridge shows very visible designs of both the parapets on one side got a bang there. So look, the council have agreed to take a look and review it, and hopefully get the work carried out in due course.
And what about then the council confirming a date for the completion of works in Narramore Village? What works are you talking about?
Okay, so back in 2019, Clem, the council started working out at the front of, you'll be familiar with Mel's in Narramore, a famous institution now at this stage.
You're talking about what was formerly Barry Kelly's pub there.
Correct.
It's now Mel's place. Melanie Tracy, famous Leinster and Kildare Camogie player.
Absolutely, and I suppose while I'm on, I'd let her wish Bernard, her partner, a very happy 65th birthday. I understand he celebrated last week, so no doubt a milestone for Bernard. So, yeah, look, at some great work going on in Narramore. The old hardware, a voluntary setup, which is now in the what was originally Kelly's Hardware, now called the Old Hardware, is a coffee shop, bakery, and a shop for the locals, and indeed a social outlet for the locals, which has been a huge success and a result of a huge amount of work done by, you know, a volunteer committee of over 40 there now, and it has proved invaluable, as you can imagine, Tim, over the last year when lockdowns have ended and so on. But anyway, the council started to do their part of that work back in 2019 on paving and making it safer, first of all, but secondly, making spaces available for socialising, etc., which was, you know, I suppose ahead of its time. We hadn't heard of a pandemic back then, but unfortunately, due to the pandemic, the council haven't finished it yet. They did give a commitment at the meeting that the work is going to recommence in September. So look, I just ask people in Narramore and the surrounding areas for their patience in the meantime. It will be a fantastic job when completed.
All right, and finally, your third motion was in relation to the council confirming that the current Athy local area plan is fit for purpose when deciding on planning applications until the new local area plan is in place. Does that imply that you have concerns?
I have concerns, Clem, and I tell you what motivated me to put the motion down. And you know, I'm on a building site here in my day job over in Newbridge.
I knew I could hear the hammer going. I was going to ask you, actually.
The hammers are going and the diggers are going in the background. I'm on a site that, you know, there's 360 houses being built on. I had passed three similar sites on the way into Newbridge this morning. And it is a concern that type of development is not taking place in Athy. You know, I was interested in listening to your previous speaker, and indeed Councillor Joe Neville, you know, speaking about issues up in Leixlip around the amount of development. And we have development going on in Athy. We heard also at our CPG meeting from our area manager and indeed the director of housing, you know, we've 5 or 6 public developments now in terms of housing, one in Flintersfield and one down in Ardrood that are at various stages of development. But the level of private development is not taking place that you'd like to see, Clem.
And is that the fault of planners, though, Ivan? Or is it a case of just people are not maybe interested in sufficient numbers in moving to Athy?
Well, it's a cat and mouse, in my opinion, Clem. At the end of the day, there is demand there. But, you know, developers and people that are willing to invest in housing need to be confident that they're going to have a chance to be treated under the current set of planning laws. And I suppose that's what my motion refers to. And I am aware of several planning applications, some that got refused, but some that also got granted, that have conditions around them where it says that the planning authority are having regard to an LAP that we haven't voted in yet and the public haven't had their say on.
And would you tell me, Ivan, why that the Athy Downtown Development Plan is set for the years 2012 to 2018 is the current statutory planning document for the consideration of planning applications. How is that plan fit for purpose when this is 2021?
Well, basically, Clem, because there's a list of what they call local area plans that are in, and Athy was in a queue of plans along with Maynooth, along with Naas, that is currently being done, and local area plans in other areas around the county that are currently out of date. And it's down to a workload, and it's down to the fact that we live in a county that is under huge pressure in terms of residential development. If you go to the counties either side of us, Clem, they're not building, you know, they're only building in terms of hundreds of houses a year. We're building in the county and we're granting planning commissions for thousands of houses. But as I said, my concern is that the large proportion of private housing is taking place in the north of the county, and there's not sufficient housing that, and it was referred to by your previous speaker there as well, being made available for private people that are able to get their own mortgages. And I'm finding that local people in and around the Tyne in the south of the county are going to places like Newbridge and Naas to buy their homes. And I got sufficient reassurance that from the planning department yesterday that the law and the planning, the local area plan, as you said, that is effectively out of date since 2019, is fit for purpose under the current set of laws. So I just want to make sure that when a developer comes into the town, that they're given a fair crack at the whip. Not that they're able to bend the rules, but that the rules that are currently in place under the law are applied.
Well, you know, if we keep talking much longer, that house isn't going to get built that you're working on at the moment. And I can hear your man with the hammer there busy in the background and everything in regards to that. So we'll let you back to your work, Ivan Keatley, and many thanks for joining us this morning. That is Fine Gael Councillor on the Athy Municipal District for the County Council, Ivan Keatley, live from the site in Newbridge.
Today with Clem Ryan.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
We're going to leave you with a little poem. You know, as somebody says there in a WhatsApp, Clem, everything was built to last years ago, whereas now everything has a shorter lifespan, and indeed memories of times past and the way things were prompted me to select a poem from Paddy O'Byrne's recent book called Down Kelly's Hill. Paddy, a Wicklow man who now lives in Rathangan, and his poem is All the Time in the World, and this conjures up images of the way homes looked many years ago with pictures of the Pope and John Kennedy and so forth. It's called All the Time in the World. Paddy O'Byrne. In the kitchen, he had a former pope with those eyes that follow you, just like our Lord in our front hall. He had John F. Kennedy too on a hanging plate from Arklow Pottery, hand painted, he told me. At the side of the dresser on a black nail, his father's memory card, the vet's number in front of the butcher's calendar. He wanted to know about the city, people with fancy dogs on leads, the finest stone-built churches, a shop for every need. Flower-patterned linoleum, worn white at the outside edge, half-net curtains blocked the sun. From fresh eggs on the window ledge, the clock went another round. Two wooden birds came out to sing. In ye go, he gently pushed. For years now, it needed a spring. A three-legged stool on a flagstone floor. All the time in the world. An open gate and door. How many of us remember houses like that? And indeed, you still see the odd one that stands still in time. That poem, All the Time in the World, from Paddy O'Byrne's new book, Down Kelly's Hill. Nice one indeed to jog old memories. So keep that recycling going. Thanks for your company, everyone. John Dunn is up next with the 11 to 2 show. Thanks to producer Kieran Noble. We'll do it all again tomorrow morning from 9. Let's go to the newsroom and Kira Plunkett.